De tree is known by its fruit. Clear, wise, faithful, earnest was the instruction of the Lord Jesus. For it is one of the two, he said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. If you now look at a tree, then either you have to consider that that tree is good, and you can see the proof of it because the fruit is good. The other is only that the tree is corrupt, and it becomes manifest in that also the fruits are corrupt. It is one of the two. There is no third choice. There is no third kind of a tree. Either the tree is good or corrupt, and thus also the fruit is either good or corrupt. And the Lord Jesus sums it up. The tree is known by its fruit. It is the same instruction that the Lord Jesus gave in Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. And that points out unto us how important that lesson is, that it is needful for us to learn this experimentally. Do you know what it also shows? How dull we are in hearing, dull we are in learning. And therefore the Lord Jesus repeats his instruction. Is that necessary for us? The tree is known by its fruit. The devil is an evil tree, and therefore all the fruit that he produces is evil, that is also corrupt. But you and I are of our father, the devil. So by nature we also are corrupt and evil trees. Not that we were so in paradise, but we have become so by virtue of our fall in Adam, our rebellion. And see, then the fruit of our life is always corrupt. It cannot be any other way. We may present ourselves differently. We may try to wear a religious cloak. We may pretend that we have true grace in our heart. We may even imitate true godliness. And nevertheless, the fruit of our life shall make it manifest, because the tree is known by its fruit. In Adam we have become corrupt, and of ourselves we can never bring forth any good fruit. We yield only evil fruit. And now we cannot always judge the heart, for that heart is often hidden, but the tree makes manifest. The fruit makes manifest what tree it is. And so we also know the heart by seeing the fruits. But the Son of Man is also a tree. We read of him as the vine in John 15. And how can he, being good, being God, and therefore good, ever bring forth but good fruit? And congregation, to say it otherwise is nothing but vile slander. But the great question for us to ponder is this: what is the tree of our life? What fruits do we bring forth? Is it either good or is it either bad? Yes. But that is the question that must be decided here below before we die. We read of John in John 15 that I am the vine, said Christ, And ye are the branches. And he pointed to his true disciples. They were engrafted into that vine. And therefore they also brought forth good fruit. Because the fruit makes manifest that the tree is good. We can profess an orthodox doctrine, but be strangers of it in our heart. We may also present ourselves as holy people, and yet be inwardly estranged from that principle of holiness. We may have a fair appearance. In other words, there may be branches and leaves. There may be buds and there may be flowers. But what kind of fruit is it going to be? If the fruit is corrupt, it is because we are corrupt. And only if the fruit is good can we say that we have been made good by that regenerating grace. And therefore it is such a solemn inquiry that we should know, that we should search ourselves how it is in our life. And the fruits, again, they do make it manifest. But are there now souls here tonight, or some listening along, perhaps, who have that question, what is now a good fruit? And how can I ever know whether I am a good tree, or whether I am still such a corrupt tree? How is it now possible for one like I am to bring forth fruit that is pleasing unto God, that is acceptable? Well, that is precisely what we are called upon to consider in this evening. And we go to the Heidelberg Catechism. And then we have before us question and answer 91, Lord's Day 33, question and answer 91. But what are good works? Only those which proceed from a true faith, are performed according to the law of God and to his glory, and not such as are founded on our imaginations or the institutions of men. This question and answer teaches us about the fruits of true conversion. And those fruits of true conversion are good works. And then there are three thoughts. First of all, the origin. Next, the rule. And finally, the purpose. So what is now the origin of the good fruit, of the good works? What is now the rule of those good fruits? And what is now the purpose of those good fruits? The instructor asks, but what are good works? Why does he now ask this question? Has he not taught earlier about good works? Oh yes, he did so already in Lord's Day 24. Because then he taught that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. He also said that they do not merit in the least. And yet, good works are graciously rewarded. And then the instructor also stressed that all in whose life God has worked that grace, that they will surely bring forth fruits of thankfulness, and those are the good works. And so that is true. But here he comes back to those good works. What is then the reason for it? In Lord's Day 24, it is in connection with that justification by faith, not by works, that it is entirely of grace. But now in question and answer 91, we have come to the part of thankfulness. And in that part of thankfulness, he has been speaking about a true conversion. And then he declares what the nature is of the fruits of true conversion, what those good works are, and what they are then, in their origin, that is from faith. And also the rule, the norm, the standard, that is the law of God. And then what is now the aim, what is the purpose, that it is to God's glory. And why does he now do that? In Lord's Day 33, the Catechism speaks about true conversion, not a false conversion, not an imagined conversion. And he spoke about the need for that true conversion. And then there are two parts, the mortification of the old man and the quickening of the new man. And now he comes to the fruits of that true conversion. Then you can know, by the fruits you can know the tree. So by the fruits you can know if your conversion is a true conversion, yes or no. And congregation, in daily life we can speak about this is decent, yes. And there can be an outward good work as far as morals are concerned. And there is a certain outward obedience to good things. A certain outward religion even that you say that is good. However, the Catechism speaks about spiritually good works. The ones that are now desired by God and that are acceptable unto God, that are pleasing to him. And that includes good thoughts and good words and good deeds. So what are now good works? Asks the instructor. Only those. And notice that word only. All that is by the wisdom of the Lord. That they began with that word, only, there we must stop. We must pause, and we must consider, only. That is a word of great emphasis in the Catechism. The instructor, as it were, has a knife, and it cuts deep. Because the Lord cuts off everything that is of self. Everything that we wish to contribute and bring in or smuggle along is cut off. Only, and then it comes, only those which proceed from a true faith, that is the origin. Only those that are performed according to the law of God, that is the rule. And only those that are done to his glory, that is now the purpose. And these three are inseparably connected to one another. You cannot have only one or two. No. It is all or nothing. Only those which proceed from a true faith, performed according to the law of God and to his glory. And so what we read, only with those which proceed from a true faith. And then first of all, we must say we have to be a true believer in order to do good works. We must have that true, sincere faith wrought in the heart. Solomon says in Proverbs 15, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination unto the Lord. And it may be, as it were, precisely the sacrifice according to the law. But it is from the wicked. With unbelief. But now the prayer of the righteous, that is delight of the Lord. Or you can go to Hebrews 11, where you have those notable examples of faith. We mention then only Abel. Because we read, by faith Abel offered unto God a more pleasing sacrifice than his brother Cain. Yes. By which he obtained the witness that he was a righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And he being dead, yet speaketh. And what is now Abel's testimony? What does Abel now teach unto us? That faith is indispensable. That only from a true faith can any true offering, any good work come forth. Only if what we do is performed from the union by faith with Christ. In other words, only if you are a branch engrafted into that vine can we bring forth any good fruits. He is that vine. And if by regenerating grace we are engrafted, then and then alone are there good fruits. The apostle said, I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. And Christ liveth in me. And then I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. Oh, only if we forsake all our own righteousness, as Habakkuk has said it, that the just shall live by his faith. Only if all our works are cut off, but our works are only good in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we do them according to God's will, and that we seek his honor, and then we come in that second and that third part already, do we not? You know what it is? Whatsoever is not of faith, that is sin. So what are now good works? Can we then begin to say what good works are? They are holy activities in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. But they are done by God's people, by truly renewed sinners, upright Christians, as the Catechism deals with them. And those good works are then done by the grace and the power of the irresistible Spirit of God. They are done according to God's holy law. They are done to the honor of God, but also seeking the welfare of our neighbor and the salvation of our never dying soul. And that is now all in Christ Jesus the Lord. Then, only then, when our works come forth from that true faith, shall they be called good works. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. The apostle writes somewhere that the end of the commandment, that is now the end of the commandment, that is in Christ Jesus, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and by that faith unfeigned, not a false faith or an imagined faith, but a true, sincere, saving faith. And young and old, then the question, are we now in that faith? Can also say this, is that faith now in us? What are good works? Only those which proceed from a true faith. There is the first thought. But then the instructor continues, only if they are performed according to the law of God. Do we not read it in Isaiah? To the law and to the testimony. For if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Then we can prattle and we can multiply words without reason. But then there is no light in us. Oh, only are our works good if we do all entirely according to that word of God. You read in Numbers 15 that we have to remember to do all the commandments of the Lord and then not do them according to what our own eyes desire, our own vain imaginations. No, because then we still go a whoring after God. We must not do as King Saul, who kept all the good cattle alive from the Amalekites, which he all was supposed to kill. We must not do as Jeroboam, building golden calves. And he said, this is how we now serve the Lord, by way of these golden calves. The Lord had said that was forbidden. Only are our works good if they are performed in the very way that the Lord commands us to do it. We must not bring in our own thoughts. We must not offer strange fire upon the altar, as the sons of Aaron have done. Only are our works good, and we do them from love to God, because He is God. He is the lawgiver. And whether we agree, whether we understand, it does not matter. God commands, and therefore it must be done. Oh, then we read, what are good works? Only those which proceed from a true faith, and only those that are performed according to the law of God. What is now required? It is work, yes. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, begins Paul in Philippians 2. So there must be a holy desire. There must be a diligent zeal. There must be a humble effort, yes. And why? Because God's law has to be our guide. It is only the Lord whom we should obey, and then not in a slavish manner, but in the manner of a child. As a child loves parents, father and mother, and now obeys and listens immediately. That's how it should be, children, young people. And so God's people have to learn these things. And then it is in the way of self-denial, taking up the cross and following the Lord. Oh, and then it is doing all the Lord's commandments, seeking to do it. Oh, and if there is now that love in our heart shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, oh, then that love of God wins us over for His blessed service. You cannot explain these things, but they are real. They are worked by the Holy Spirit. Then I love God, and I love His day. And I love the habitation of His house, the place where His honor dwelleth. That is then lovely in my sight. Then I love all the commandments. Then I love that word of God. I love the people of God. What did we now sing from 119? About the Lord whose goodness none can measure. Oh, congregation, could I but let you taste it. Then you would say farewell to the world immediately. Because then the Lord comes over and He changes the heart and He makes it altogether different. But how is it now by nature? How is it now by God's people according to that old Adam nature still? The opposite. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. And it is not subject unto that law of God, neither indeed can be. And if it then concerns good works, people of God, is it not true how slothful we are? How fretful? How contrary? How rebellious? What murmuring there is in our heart? And that is why you see God's children also sinning many times. See Noah naked and drunken in his tent. Abram lying to Pharaoh. King Jehoshaphat helping the ungodly. And you can multiply all those examples. And if a child of God is made upright, they say, oh, I have a list far longer than you can find in the whole Bible. Because that is what we are. There is that corrupt root still, that old man still in us. Paul says it in Romans 3, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, that is the new man, but how to perform I find not. And oh, that is now the strife of the militant church here below. They have that corrupt flesh. And they have another enemy, and that is Satan. And relentlessly he tries to oppose and to oppress. He tries to hinder that practice of godliness. He tries to deceive you. He tries to snare you. He tries to make you ruin. And then there is the world, the cronies, the helpers of Satan. And that three-headed enemy comes up against the Lord. Oh, that is now experienced by God's children. And what then has to become the practice, children of God? You know what it is? You hear it in 35. Be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be. Then I have no strength in myself anymore. Then I need the Lord to be my protector, to be my shield, my refuge, my strong high tower. I need him to be my shield everywhere. I need him to overcome all the enemies. And you know how it is then in the heart. All the desire is there to walk in all the commandments of the Lord. Because then it is the delight of my soul according to the inward man. How love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh yes. But now the it is not always that the enemies have the upper hand. But there are so many times that they do. But there are also times that the Lord flows in. And then David says, now I can leap over a wall and I can go through a troop. Oh, and then Samson takes a lion and he tears him apart. And then Samson, after he had sinned so much, and you know it, wicked, wicked was his life. And we are no better people, no, if it is only uncovered. But the Lord comes over unto him. And he stands there in that temple and he has to play before that wicked heathen multitude. And then he cries, Lord, once more. And that is for the glory of thy name. That is for the welfare of thy people. That is so thy word shall be fulfilled. And in the end that the Messiah shall be able to come. Give me that strength once more. And the Lord answered his prayer, and those pillars were pushed over. And in his death he slew more than in his life. You see, then the Lord still gave the victory, gave a good work at the end of his life. You know how it is now in the heart of God's children, yes. When the Lord gives them an opening and gives them a victory, so to speak, yes. Perhaps a little one, but still a victory. The Lord helps them, yes. But before I know it, then I lie already in the mud. In the mire, then I have defiled my garment again. then I am entwined in the world and I am tangled in the snares of world conformity. Good works. You know what they are? Grace. You know what they are? Grace. You know what they are? Pure, sovereign grace of the Lord alone. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for. And then comes the key, the solution. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Oh, that is now the good work that is pleasing to the Lord, because then it is the Lord's own doing and he beholds it, congregation. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy statutes diligently. David in 119. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That's how it goes. The desire is then given by the Lord to obey. And at the same time, Lord, help me to do it and to perform it. Oh, people of God, read Psalm 119. Yes. Then you read a psalm of sanctification. Time and again, you see that life up and down. And then there is a panting after holiness. There is a desire to walk in all the ways of the Lord. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and according to thy law. And you know how David then ends in 119. Thy servant has gone astray like a wandering sheep. Seek thy servant, for I forget not thy law. That was grace. There was now a man broken down. That is now where God's children are brought, not only once, time and again. What are then good works? Only those which proceed from a true faith. And only those that are performed according to the law of God. And only those that are done unto his glory. Oh yes. That is also inseparably connected. But perhaps someone says, may I then not seek the welfare of my neighbor? May I then not seek the salvation of my own soul? Oh yes, we should. That is necessary. The Lord also gave the second commandment. And we read that the Lord Jesus says, this is the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You may not and cannot separate that. And should we not seek the salvation of our own soul? Oh, the Lord has given many such encouragements. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Seek ye Jehovah and his power. Seek ye his presence every hour. But you know what lies now at the bottom of God's children? Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy truth and for thy name's sake. Whether ye therefore eat or whether ye therefore drink, do it all to the glory of God. Whatsoever ye do, oh, we must have God's honor in view, congregation. Paul says to the Philippians that God's people must be filled with the works of, with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus unto the glory and the praise of God. Now there you have it. Only if they are to his glory. And if now the Lord comes over and he makes a willing people in the day of his power, then I yield myself unto him. Then I surrender myself. Oh, then I say farewell to the service and the pleasure of sin. And then it is taking and listing under that banner of the cross of Christ Jesus. Then I will take Jesus' yoke upon me. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Then I do not direct the Lord at that time. But at such a time I am given to follow then I will walk in his ways. Then I do not take my own course, but then I look at the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire. And then I learn to follow whithersoever he goeth, whether it is through the furnace, through the wilderness, through the darkness, through the lion's den, wherever it may be. But then it is following the Lord, just like that compelled bearer of the cross, Simon of Cyrene. Oh, what a wonder would it be if the Lord brings us with that holy compelling and then winning over the heart to do it because he had Jesus in view. And on Golgotha, Jesus nailed to the cross and Simon of Cyrene saved by that cross. You know how it is in the life of those people. Then I died, tried to do that out of a high regard to the Lord, because faith worketh by love. And it cannot be any other than the Lord is so worthy to be praised, is so be worthy to be honored and to be feared and to adored. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, for thou hast created us, all things, and for thee, and they are, and they were created, that it should be unto thy glory. Then it is this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth all my praise. Is there now such a people? Oh, then they hardly dare to say it. But perhaps inwardly, perhaps your heart yearns for that life. Because when the Lord comes in your life, then it is tender within. Then it is so close in communion with him. Oh, then it is everything else but the Lord and his will becomes sin unto us. And that is then my choice. Then I forsake the treasures and the idols of Egypt. And then I would rather be afflicted with that people of God. Oh, than to have in view the reward, that is Christ Jesus. That is then the aiming, the desire to be with him. And especially when the Lord gives some instruction unto such people about that Savior, and that he has now willingly shed his blood and paid the ransom for the salvation of his people. And then they are taught what the Apostle Paul has written, ye are bought with a price. And then there comes a therefore. Then there follows a holy command. Ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your soul, which are God's. O children of God, if that has become reality in your hearts, and you then sin against him again, and how often do we do that? How bitter then is sin? Sinning against the law is bitter, but sinning against that grace, sinning against that precious blood, sinning against the Lord, suffering for that sinner. Oh, no wonder Peter went out of the hall of Caiaphas weeping bitterly, because those loving eyes of Christ told him. Oh, congregation, then it is a people that does not fly the flag so oftentimes. No, they are often in the quiet places. They are often so low, and yet congregation, it is then the desire that the Lord comes over and take care of that corruption and will take care of all those enemies and will remove them from all those temptations. And you know what now the wonder is, and they can never explain it. They cannot expect it anymore. No. That the Lord comes back. That the Lord returns. And he washes and he cleanses the guilt of that people, but he washes also and he cleanses all that vile pollution and all those vile sins And the Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Then it is a people that end up so disappointed with themselves. It was many years ago, congregation, on a birthday, that I said, I asked, Lord, may I have a word from thee? And the first thing that I read in God's word, Israel is an empty vine. You understand it? Then it becomes a reality what Jesus said, from thee no fruit henceforward forever. But that is now profitable. That is now so necessary. For then there comes a room that he shall be unto Israel as the dew. Then there comes a room for him to say, from me is thy fruit found. Oh, and that is now based upon what Christ has spoken to his Father. In John 17, I have glorified thee on the earth. Glorify thou me. That was during the sojourn of Jesus here below, when he accomplished all his surety work. And now out of that mediatorial labor, he begins to administer all his people. What does he say? Without me, ye can do nothing. And I always want to do something. Until the Lord makes it an entirely finished business. And then it is so gladly that you hear, without me, ye can do nothing. But now with me, in Christ Jesus, and through him, I can do everything. Oh, that is now the wonder. And you see, that is why also you read in Lord's Day 44 that the instructor again speaks about good works. And you know what he then says? That God's children, no matter how far advanced they are here below, have but a small beginning of that obedience. Oh, we make our children big. That's what we like to do as fathers and mothers, that they grow up. You know what the Lord Jesus does? He makes his children smaller and smaller. For he must increase and I must decrease. And see, if the church is brought at that place, nothing of myself and all of him, then we do truly good works. We sing.